Whether you're just wrapping up the night shift or on your way to start the day, we got what you need.
Welcome to the morning shift.
It's the most mid team in history.
A whole new way to start your day with nationally televised reporter Tiffany Blackman.
Any pizza for me can be a personal.
Can't wait.
Former Falcons and Alabama offensive lineman Mike Johnson.
I've had my butt chewed by Nick Saban a few times.
You shut your mouth when you're talking to me.
And Atlanta sports radio guru Bo Morgan.
You know who I am? I'm Squid Bill.
You tell him I'm coming. And hell's coming with me, you hear?
It's a new experience.
And a new take on a sports morning show.
The Morning Shift is brought to you by Greater Atlanta Area McDonald's. Download the app for great deals.
The Morning Shift is on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. Now, here's Tiffany, Mike, and Bo.
Good morning. It is Wednesday. This, as always, is the morning shift on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. Mike, Bo, and Tiff here with you, and we are in the Kia Studios live, which is the usual. And greetings. I see you have your camouflage on this morning.
Yeah, I didn't want you to see me. You can't see me. I'm John Cena this morning.
Who are you talking to, Tiff?
Bo, it's like a camouflage.
I don't see anybody over there.
You know what? You guys,
I thought for sure you would follow along with that. You're like, whoa.
I was like, what are you talking about? What do you mean?
Well, I didn't want Mike to be able to look at me and say, What day is it? Because I did not want to play into that that ridiculous nonsense.
Again, it goes back to the lame, corny aspect of the show that we discussed. That feels like it was an eternity ago.
But didn't we identify the
Anyway, so
she was in her feels about that corny comment, wasn't she?
Yeah.
I don't really get in my feels.
Like, you can call me anything except corny.
It's funny the things that ruffle her feathers and the things that just go right off. Oh yes, it did.
Guys, let me tell you, I went home and I could not sleep over that comment. Let me tell you, it really got, you know.
I
would believe you, except for we could see the look on your face in here before you got home. So yeah, I don't believe you.
Well, the fact that you just
after I left,
you might not have, but subconsciously, if it wasn't topical, you wouldn't have dropped the corny bit right there. I think you needed a chance to throw it back. You had to throw it back over there.
No, it's just the opportunity presented itself.
Do you think I'm more corny than Dylan?
Dylan's face right now.
No, I don't think that. I think Dylan's is yours is done in a dad way, and Dylan is done as in a kind-hearted, innocent way.
Sure. I agree with both those things.
Because you're not a nice guy. You are, but you also have a mean streak in you. And I say that lovingly because that's the competitive side. Well, look, I mean, every Alabama story he says, yeah, I mean, we were at practice and got in a fight. And
I've never told a story like that. Never.
You told a story yesterday off the air like that.
No, that's beside the point.
Dylan, your mic works. Back me up here.
Not that's Dylan. Besides the point.
I mean, my goodness. I get the bad reputation on this show as the jerk.
You do.
I've got corny Blackman over here and angry Mike Johnson to my left, and I'm the one that gets the bad rep.
Well, you are a kind-hearted soul, and don't let anybody tell you different.
All right, now you've You've taken it too far. You've taken
that,
it too far.
That just made you angry.
Someone told you you were kind and you just got mad.
Well, we don't need to lie.
There's been a lot of Bama stories going around this week because of the Saban Field thing and like all the players, you know, coming together in Tuscaloosa, and I was there and somebody was talking about how there was a fight in the bus, the Alabama bus, on the way to the 2015 game against Clemson, the national championship. There was like a fight on the way, but they're like, that's just how it was. And I was like, that's 100% how it was. Like, I think we fought on the bus to practice every day on when we were out in California for the national championship game. It's just how it was, man. It's just always edgy. But, yeah, you're right, man. I don't know if that means I have a mean streak. I'm just very irritable.
Like, was this obviously not, like, physical? Was it just heated words and people pretending to hold people back? I mean,
you're on the bus. Yeah, absolutely physical.
You're on the bus?
100% physical.
That's a tight space for big dudes.
Yeah, trust me. There's furniture being ruined on those things.
Mean streak was probably an extreme choice of words.
Fair enough.
Wait, did you fight anybody on the bus?
Yes.
I will not say yes or no, Tiff.
Yes.
I will not incriminate myself in this.
On a bus?
No.
Can I ask you yes or no?
Who did you fight?
Yeah, who did you fight on the bus?
No, I'm definitely not going
was
down
it someone,
that route.
Was it someone on defense?
Of course. course. I don't know if I've ever met a defensive lineman that I like.
I'll ask you this.
Shout out to John Abraham. Saw him in the media suite the other day.
I don't think that's a fight you
want
to pick.
I don't want any of that smoke.
The man was called the Predator for a reason.
I don't want any of that smoke.
Over under at Alabama fights per week that Mike Johnson was involved
in practice.
In practice, I'm gonna set the number at 4. Over under.
We'll go under, but slightly. It was like probably
4.5.
No, it was less than 1 a day, so that's why I'd go under.
Less than one a day. I'm surprised.
Told you.
It was amped up back then, man. It was amped up. I fought our backup quarterback one time.
What the hell?
I know. He was complaining about his protection. You know me. I was like, nah, man. I ain't the one.
This is why, if you're listening right now at 6:07, this is why whenever I started an offensive lineman and Tiffany goes, Mike, can you sit back down? There is real truth to that because my life is now in danger,
man,
for being honest and telling the truth.
You really fought people. I don't really even know.
It's not one of my...
Actually, I'll go with this. This hour brought to you by Morgan & Morgan. Injured. I am Morgan & Morgan, America's largest injury.
That's why I won't be talking about those buses, Tiff.
It's as simple as this. Mike's just got that dog in him, and if you bring it out, you know, it'll start barking.
There we go. That's why he's the corniest person on this show.
That was that.
Dylan is like a walking no fear motto shirt writer. Like he could write.
I love it though,
Dylan
man.
Could write all the no fear
this
shirts.
That's what you need in the morning.
Dylan
would
be writing like Hallmark cards. That wasn't even like hard enough to go on a no fear t-shirt.
Little secret between you, me, and the rest of Atlanta. I gave Dan Quinn fast and physical. That was me all along.
Oh yeah, there you go. Is... Print it on a shirt.
I'm just kidding.
Okay. All right. Well, you think the Falcons could use more fast than a physical play when they meet the Eagles on Monday Night Football next week, week 2 of the season. And
they could on the offensive line.
Just hang out right here.
And here's the thing. Because you know how irritated I am about this.
Look, there is.
But you know why? Because I thought about this yesterday, and I was kind of going in on Zach Robinson, and I was like, you know, and you were like, this is so unlike you. Usually, it's like you're the one that's calm and like, hey, they'll get it together. And I honestly diagnosed it later, and I think the hate that is given to Caleb McGarry is the reason that I'm so mad about Zach Robinson.
Well, let's hold on before you go any further. Let's be fair, Caleb McGarry is not without blame on September 11, 2024, for what happened on September 8th, especially on that first possession and when they're inside the 10 and he overreaches on a block, you played right tackle, I didn't, but that is a technique issue.
It is. It's a tough block, but yes, it's a technique issue for sure. Yeah, there's no doubt about it.
But Zach Robinson's not without blame either. Kirk Cousins made terrible decisions when he knew he shouldn't have.
I think that the best offensive coordinators, the best play callers, the best play designers can always, and this is why it's never as glaring as what you saw this past weekend, because usually you'll learn a lesson, right, and you'll do things a little bit differently. You don't just have one plan and use Kyle Pitts to chip on the way out, and that's your plan. Usually you have a number of different options, and you keep those guys off balance. Throw screens over the top. You run a draw. You run a bootleg. You keep, you know. And that's why it becomes frustrating for me to watch, because I'm watching the game going, man, Caleb McGarry's struggling. And the more and more it goes along, I'm like, somebody help the guy. For the love of God, somebody step in there and help him. And yet, you know, nobody on that sideline was doing anything to help the man out. So he's definitely not without fault. That's not what I'm trying to say at all. But there are things you can do to alleviate some of those stressors. And you better believe that they better be alleviating them on Monday night, because that's not going to get easier for some of those interior guys, for sure.
It's not, but why do we have to use the word blame? Can't we just, everyone shares in the loss, right? It's a team sport.
Well, I haven't.
I just wanted to ruffle some feathers, and clearly Mike is thinking about, or you.
Well, I think you're right.
I think you're right.
But I think the blame is on one side of the ball primarily. You can blame the defense for a couple of plays here and there, but...
Oh, I meant share the blame on that side.
Oh, okay.
No, I'm just kidding.
Okay. Yeah. Okay. Well, then
nice work retracing your steps.
Yeah. We're good to go. We're good to go then.
Okay, good to turn the page. what kind of game do they need to have against the Eagles? Do you feel like this might be a high-scoring affair?
Well, I can assure you that the Eagles are going to score a touchdown offensively. Wouldn't you agree, Mike?
I just want to say crazy things.
I mean...
I'm just trying to keep it in the line.
You know, I'm just
I am
flying around here.
You know what's and the interesting part, and Tiff, you know, kind of tongue in cheek, ask that question. I don't know how to design a world and where where that happens. And look, I know that Reem has talked about Kirk Cousins' health this week, and it's fine. And this was the plan. Everything else going on, it's just not fine. The bottom line is that should have never been the plan, and if that had to be the plan, then you need to find a backup plan. And it's just you need your defense to be locked down, and not only that, you might need a defensive turnover. How about that? How about a pick six from an AJ Terrell that really can turn the tide of things in the way you look at this team? Because as it sits right now, it's just I don't know, man.
Did you see Warren Sharp, before we go to break? Did you see Warren Sharp's breakdown of Justin Fields? Where he threw the ball on Sunday. Yeah. This, for the record, not a knock on Justin Fields. I thought it was actually a little bit of a genius from Arthur Smith. He didn't throw one ball in the middle of the field. One ball was in the middle of the field. You know why? Jesse Bates, Justin Simmons.
I think, on the flip side, I'm not sure Kirk threw one past the 5-yard box outside the numbers.
And there's another thing, but I just thought that was, and guess what? Some of that might have had to do with what was there too, but I thought that was brilliant by Arthur keeping the ball and away from the ball hawkers when your quarterback has an accuracy issue 15 yards in.
More Falcons talk is on the way, and college football, is this an early glimpse at rivalry week? I'll be there for one of these matchups. We'll discuss next on The Morning Shift when we come back on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
The Morning Shift. Make some noise! The Morning Shift is brought to you by Greater Atlanta Erie McDonald's. Download the app for great deals.
On Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
Oh, what's that on your desk? Over there.
What, my Phil Steele? My college football Bible?
There you go.
Yeah, look, I got this thing.
What's
I've
on
got
the front of that thing?
Quinn Ewers.
Yeah.
Carson Beck.
Some talk of Quinn Ewers being the Heisman favorite now.
There is.
Let's bring it back. I think Carson Beck is still, to me, I think Carson Beck is going to, well, they go head to head, but I think Carson Beck's going to have plenty of time to prove he's still that dude. There's a poise about him that just is very, if I was a Georgia fan, it'd be very comforting for me.
Huh, well, let's keep the college football train going.
It's time to talk college football on The Morning Shift on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
All right, Saturday. This is now, what, week three? I always try to keep up. College football's ahead of NFL by, like, basically a week.
Yeah.
If you don't count the 0 week.
It's weird, too, because, the NFL goes through preseason, and you see those, and they start before anything college football does, and then it ramps up quicker in college. So
This is true. So, in our own backyard, we got VMI at Georgia Tech this weekend, and then you've got Vanderbilt at Georgia State.
Yeah, it's a bounce-back opportunity for Tech.
It is. And you know what? Georgia State, Vanderbilt, this will be a really good test. A really good test. Because Vanderbilt, last weekend... Two weekends ago. Against
Bot Tech.
So we'll see how that shakes out. There's also kind of some, I guess, a little bit of a rivalry week going on, an earlier edition of that. When you look at some of these other matchups. But we can start first. You want to take a shot at the Gators? Do I hear Texas A&M at Florida?
This is an important game for both programs.
It really is.
Both of them have early week one losses at home, I should say, to what looked like good opponents. Notre Dame now is kind of off the beaten path with, I guess, they felt themselves a little too much.
Rough.
But the DJ Lagway, Graham Mertz thing, I was talking to somebody that's close to Gainesville yesterday, and basically, it was one of those deals where I was asking about Napier, and he said, look, Napier's biggest issue is Napier refuses to move away from what his little plan is. And sometimes you can't, you have to.
He Billy, called it a little plan, Tiff.
Well, I threw in the word little.
Yeah, I haven't used that in a long time.
I know. I think I've started using it now because of you. Thank you for that. But I'll say this. Billy better not hesitate. There is no plan. Okay? You're in survival mode. And if you want to survive, you need to play DJ Lagway or honestly play the hot hand at quarterback and do everything. Win at all costs. Win at all costs on Saturday at 3:30.
I don't have the schedule in front of me, but I remember thinking before the year started, so you might have to correct me if I'm wrong, Bo, but is this the most – this might be one of the two most winnable games still left on Florida's schedule?
I think UCF and Miss State are somewhat winnable, and based on what I saw from Kentucky last week, I do believe that is a winnable game as well.
No disrespect to Kentucky, but that is where your dogs are at. And so would you classify this as a Georgia, the number one team in the land, just needs to take care of business? Or are you not including Kentucky in this fight?
I think based on what we saw last week, Mike, going into Kroger Field this week for Georgia, that Mark Stoops will have them prepared and basically they'll be focused. But Carson Beck beat Brock Vandergriff out for a reason, and I think the better quarterback will prevail on Saturday.
I mean, that's always usually the case. And here's what Mark Stoops' team has to do. They have to avoid penalties. They have to play their brand of football. They have to do the things that they do. And truth be told, these programs, as crazy as it is because there's a different skill level, but these programs actually play pretty similarly when you really kind of look at the way they go about things. So, well-coached team.
Like rosters, basically.
Yeah, I mean, then you do the roster math, and you're like, okay, well, that guy's a little bit faster than that guy. That guy's a better running back. That guy, but schematically, you have to do a lot of the same things. I guess my point saying is that to bring up, the only way that, to me, in my opinion, the only way Georgia gets any kind of hiccup is you get penalties along the way. If it's one of those 10 penalty games, then, Kentucky can stay in it. But otherwise, this is, and it's going to be like this for Georgia for a while. It's Georgia's game to lose until they don't win.
It's the difference in he's good at what he does. He's probably the best in the country at what he does.
Correct.
And that's the Georgia roster to the UK roster.
That's correct. You're completely spot on.
I mean, it's unbelievable.
Let's take a listen to what Kirby Smart thinks about their opponent this weekend.
They're just as dangerous, whether they won or lost that game, in my opinion. I mean, I don't get into the whole, we're going to prepare the same way regardless of what happened in that game. A lot of things went wrong quickly for them in that game, and it snowballed in some ways. And I know what they're capable of. I've seen them on tape. I know the football players they got. I know how physical they are. I know how they're coached. And we got to get ready for a really tough opponent.
I love it. Kirby knows the deal. No, I'm not falling for it.
Kirby probably has Georgia believing they're like a 10-point underdog in this game.
Yeah, you have to.
That's just what he does.
Look at the Marcus Freeman comments that have come out this week. Look at the Marcus Freeman comments. He's like, man, we lost in Illinois because we believed our own hype. And he was basically saying, it's the first time as a coach I've ever been in that situation, and I won't be in it again.
After the Clemson game, KJ Bolden came out and said, yeah, they said we don't play freshmen at Georgia. And I'm like, who the hell said that?
Who said that?
Brock Bowers was the best player on the national championship team as a freshman. Who said that?
Let them do whatever it takes.
I mean, it's just funny.
That's what you got to tell yourself. All right, Alabama at Wisconsin.
Woo!
Intriguing.
Thank God for Alabama, for me, that is a early game. Even though it's going to be a raucous environment, I don't think they would have wanted to go up and square up in Camp Randall, if it had been a night game. Here's about Wisconsin and some of the things I've looked at. Wisconsin is having an identity crisis. Wisconsin is no longer the two tight end, fullback, H-back, cowboy collar, downhill kind of team. They run like a Phil Longo system who was at Ole Miss 5 or 6 years ago. It's like an air raid still mixed with a Wisconsin offensive line. And it looks funny, right? They also have Tyler Van Dyke, the Miami transfer quarterback. So they do things a little bit differently, really, than any other team probably in college football. But I don't know if they've made the full-on transition to air raid or if they're still ground and pound. There's still a little bit of both I don't know which side of the two-face that Alabama's going to get this weekend, but Alabama's got to avoid the penalties if they're going to do anything.
Never thought I would hear the words identity crisis at Wisconsin as long as Barry Alvarez was there, because Barry Alvarez has been the reason Wisconsin has stayed exactly what they have.
Yeah.
And so it's a little bit shocking to me that he yielded to Luke Fickell, probably just to get him and agreed to change, you know, allow that, because whether you like it or not, people can say, oh, he doesn't have control. He has had his complete control of that program for, 30 years?
Yeah. Well, and look, this is going to be a massive spread. The bottom line is the spread is only going to be as good as Bama's penalties. They absolutely – in the first half last week, Bama had 180 yards called back on offense because of penalties. And if that happens again, Wisconsin's going to run away with this game.
So we have a kind of a glimpse at Rivalry Week, an earlier edition of it going on out west. And I'll tell you where I'll be this weekend. I'll be in Colorado, because it's Colorado against Colorado State up in Fort Collins.
Is it just as spicy this year as it was last year, Tiff?
I think it will be just as spicy. I think, I mean, two in-state rivals, based on what happened last year, too. There's always a lot of talking. So I'll be going through some meetings this week, and we'll find out some more information about this one, but this is probably going to be a good matchup. It's the night game, too, on CBS.
Ooh.
Yeah, that's a good game for you to get. You're going to get to, obviously, sit down with Coach Prime and company. Look, this game was amazing last year. I think it went to overtime, if I'm not mistaken, and I don't...
Slugfest.
I don't... Yeah. I could see it doing it being a similar game. And Deion's talked already that he still thinks that offensive line can get the job done. I don't know, Mike. You tell me. I just think they need to make a bigger commitment to try to run the ball. I mean,
and he said as much. And it's funny because that's a massive shift in terms. You want to talk about offensive coordinators not helping an offensive line out? I went on about Zach Robinson earlier. It's a much bigger deal in the NFL, but it's like, oh, Shadur keeps getting sacked, and yet we just still drop back and throw it 50 times a game. Like, dude, like, you know, at some point you have to kind of learn a little bit of a lesson here and help somebody out.
There's a lot going on there. So we'll have our hands full this weekend with that matchup. All right, that is the music for me to go to break. Isn't that right, Dylan? Is this, what is this? I can hear it. I can't kind of hear it.
This is Michael Jackson. Love Never Felt.
Let me put both earpieces in. There we go. Okay.
There you go.
All right. I was like,
you digging it? You digging the vibes?
I'm digging the vibes here. All right. And also, you guys are probably digging your Braves. They bounced back from being shut out Monday. Details and a TV's timeout on the way on the morning shift on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
What are the haps?
Start the day the right way with the morning shift.
With Tiffany, Mike, and Bo.
All right.
The morning shift is brought to you by Greater Atlanta Area McDonald's. Download the app for great deals.
On Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
Oh, my. Michael hits this into outer space. That thing is gone. That was a high, towering solo shot. 2-0 for Harris. And it's 12-0.
And Brandon Gaudin on that 12-0 call of your Atlanta Braves, courtesy Bally Sports. That was the final as the Braves beat the Nationals. And yes, you heard Michael Harris, Money Mike. He had two of Atlanta's four home runs. And the Braves had 15 hits in that win. So going from what, against the Reds?
To being two hit. Basically, yeah. The whole lineup was shut out, but Matty O. I think, Tiff, they had hit three home runs in the month of September until last night.
I think you're correct.
And then they hit four. It was needed because Renato, you're back in a tie for the third spot in the wild card. That's the good news. You had an offensive explosion. That's the good news. You were able to beat a pitcher that had kind of done well against you. That's the good news. The bad
what
news
goes
is
up must come down.
The fact that
there you go.
I'm going to give you one more piece of good news.
Oh, please do.
Your bullpen was phenomenal last night.
Oh, that's another good point.
Jesse Chavez, is it Brebia, they just signed him, and Luke Jackson gave you 8 innings combined with 8 strikeouts, 3 walks, 2 hits, no earned runs.
What's the bad news?
Jesse and Luke needed those, by the way.
Absolutely. So did Brebia as well, because he had struggles before he got here. The bad news, Tiff, since you asked, is that Renato Lopez went one inning, and his velocity, which at times has been at 96, was like averaging 91 last night. That is bad. It's also bad that he went out with right shoulder tight slash soreness. That is worse. So now we don't know if they were to sneak in where what the status would be for Ronaldo Lopez.
Yeah. And that's the scary part. Yeah. There was a point last night when this game's going on, and I didn't get a chance to watch every inning. I had a lot going on at the house with the kids, and I kept glancing over, and it's like another tater. It's like at one point though, and I wonder if y'all feel this way. Do you ever look at it and go, "All right, can we save some of those for later?"
I'm glad like, you said that.
Can you just put some of those in the bag? Put the driver away. All right, we could use the putter a little bit here.
When I would watch games with my grandfather, he would be like, the game would be out of hand. He'd be like, "Well, they're wasting all their hits for tomorrow."
And it was the wasting the hits, but it was who is it? And like Michael Harris was kind of the catalyst in a lot of ways last night too. And you know, you see Sean Murphy and RC and guys that have struggled. I mean, guys that have not had the years that you know you thought they would in a lot of ways. And so you're like, "All right, man, yeah, like to pile on everything, but just calm down a little bit." But to your point, Ronaldo Lopez kind of mentioned it in the post game. He's like, "Dude, I went out there and I thought I was amping it up." He was like, "You know, it's been mid 90s and he throws 89, and he was like, "I don't really know what's going on here." So
I think a lot of it has to do with fatigue. I think it's funny too is that this is. Last night was the last two nights are a microcosm.
It's a roller coaster.
Yeah, it's like this season in a nutshell. It's like you have no offense and great pitching. You lose somebody to an injury, and you have this random out of nowhere offensive explosion. And tonight, you have no clue what you'll get. Make it make sense.
Yeah, it's the scary thing about Ronaldo Lopez is, from all accounts, like he feels fine. Like the checkups and everything with the trainers, and he's going to get an image today, but he's just like, basically, I mean, he stayed in the game after the first time they went and checked on him. He stays in the game, but his velocity is so far down that it's like, "Dude, I don't even know what's going on with you, but you ain't pitching anymore today. I can tell you that much."
Fatigue.
Let's hit a TB's timeout.
Monday Night Football means we'll be talking all about the Falcons Eagles Tuesday on Dukes and Bell. Get your Falcons.
All right.
Hey, somebody hush Mike Bell up. I've had enough
for
of him.
Two for two.
I've heard enough of him. Pipe down, Mike Bell. This is Tiffany's time.
All right, this is the TV's timeout right now. You want to know who had the audacity? Someone that I went on a random date with, like 3 years ago or 2 years ago.
Oh, this is a way back.
I get a text last week of someone's number that is not even stored in my phone. And it's actually, I got a phone call first. I looked and said, "I don't know this number. I'm not going to answer it."
Oh,
so I didn't.
It's bold. 3 years later, I'm going to do a random phone call.
It is the most boldest act that I have ever encountered. Bold, bold, bold. I am taking a nap. I see this phone call. I ignore it. Right after the call, then I get a text. "Hey, Tiff, give me a call when you get a chance." So that implies, okay, I probably, you know, maybe I really know this person.
Yeah, it could be a producer or something.
Could be, exactly. So I'm thinking, okay, I probably need to, you know, give this person a ring back. I shoot the text back. I said, "Hey, sorry, so-and-so, what's your last name?" They tell me the last name, and I'm like, "You got to be kidding me. Like, what? So then it says, "No worries, just, you know, get back to me." I said, "Yeah, I'll give you a call back later," knowing good and well, I'm not going to return the call.
Was it audacious because of the way the circumstances were last time y'all hung out?
No, it was one date, no love lost, like, cool, whatever. Like, there was nothing bad happened, right? You just knew it wasn't going to be a thing, and that was it. You just kind of move on. Never did I think that I would hear from this individual ever again, nor have they even crossed my mind in any capacity over the last 3 years. And yet they hit me up to ask me for a favor.
Oh, no. That's where the
audacity.
Yeah. Oh, that's why.
It's wild to me.
Wow.
Wild. Like, the entitlement, the audacity, all of it.
I used to get that all the time.
Not only did I not return the call, the next day I get a follow-up text. And I was like, you got to be kidding me. Saying, "Hey, this is just going to be a quick thing. Like, blah, 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 blah. This is what I need. Blah, blah, blah." And I'm like, looking at it, this can't be real life. This person cannot live in the real world.
Without going in grave detail, because I don't want to overstep any boundaries, but was it a favor that was like, "Oh, that's easy," or was it?
Yes. Yes. It was. They were, sorry. I was getting very emphatic about this. They were asking for some sort of a sportsy favor.
Okay.
Right?
Is it something that would have cost you money or time?
Not time.
Okay.
And it's something that I would normally do, but in the grand scheme of things and schedule right now, and the fact that you had the audacity to reach out about this when I don't even communicate with you.
Yeah.
And again, your number's not in my phone at all. And you're asking me to help somebody else that I don't know.
Yeah.
But what it sounds like is maybe you want to call in a favor for some chick that maybe you're dating or something like that.
No.
Maybe it's just a friend.
Fair Foul Friday. That's
and then
foul.
You kind of be like, hey, I've got this connection. Who does that?
Wow.
Not cool. Not cool.
Fair Foul Friday, that is foul.
And the worst part is I think what should really be stated here is there is zero relationship with
there's
said person.
None.
And he is acting, or they are acting like there's a relationship for you to help someone else out that they maybe have a relationship with. That is not cool.
No.
They name dropped you.
Yes.
And they don't even really know you.
No.
Yeah.
The hate tip is what really just...
Hey, Tiff.
I can see it. Yeah, I used to date
like the
her.
Person was sitting right next to him when they texted you. Hey,
that's
Tiff.
That's what it feels like. Wait, what?
You know how that conversation went?
Even, go ahead.
He's like, yeah, I used to date her, but we ended on good terms. We good. I'll text her right now. Yeah. Hey, Tiff.
Yeah.
What's
see,
up?
Look, check this out.
Yeah.
Hey, Tiff. Yeah.
Nah.
You actually called me.
No.
That is.
No.
You know, anyway, that. Really grinds my gears.
That's great. I like that because that would have probably made my head explode.
You know, and I want to. You know what? Maybe we can toss that into a wake up call thing too. When have you had the audacity as a dude to resurface?
Or a female?
Or a female?
When has Thank you, Mike.
Had the audacity to resurface on you, asking for stuff, but there's no.
I was going to say, trust me, I've seen it on the other
Wild.
Side.
Wild.
Yeah, we want to hate everybody on this show.
This hour brought to you by Morgan & Morgan Injured. Hire Morgan & Morgan, America's largest injury law firm. All right, Kirk Cousins and Zach Robinson hopefully going to be dialing up something good on Monday night. What will it be? Let's take our best shot at guessing when we come back here on the morning shift on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
Started.
Go ahead.
With the morning shift.
Time for the show.
The morning shift is brought to you by Greater Atlanta Erie McDonald's. Download the app for great deals.
On Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
We're in our 7 o'clock hour. It is brought to you by Zeraz. Smart, lasting, clean. We've got some Falcons, Eagles prep to get to. But first, I want to tell you that we do have a giveaway going on. And later on in the show, we'll be giving away a pair of tickets to Atlanta United's home match against Montreal on Wednesday, October 2nd at Mercedes-Benz Stadium at 7:30. So stay with us. I will tell you exactly when to call in. And in the meantime, if you want to try to get tickets, you can do so at atlutd.com. All right. We are all looking forward to wiping the slate clean with a Monday night football game for the Atlanta Falcons against the Eagles this coming week. And Kirk Cousins, we're kind of talking about it in the break. He has some experience facing an Eagles team. Isn't that right, Bo Morgan?
Yeah, he does. Like, he's played them a lot in his career. This will be the 12th time he's played the Eagles. And the thing I would say is probably the most important for Zach Robinson, Raheem Morris, and this Falcons team is the fact that he's played them each of the last 2 years. And just
that's
so
huge, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. So he knows now, Tiff, you know that the defense with Gannon when he was there is different now than with Fangio.
Yes.
But he was there last year. He actually played phenomenally against them last year. He had Justin Jefferson, TJ Hawkinson, and Jordan Addison was still trying to get his foot in because both of the last two seasons he played them in September. But I would tell you that he went 31 of 44 for 364 yards and 4 touchdowns last year in a loss against the Eagles. Now, it didn't go so swimmingly in 2022 when he threw 3 interceptions and a touchdown and they lost as well. But, you know, to me, guys, what I initially think about that is we saw what we didn't like in the game plan or a game plan we didn't like, I guess I should say, against Pittsburgh. For the Falcons offense, Will Zach rely on Kirk to kind of figure out things that has worked and not worked in the past against this Eagles defense?
I'd say he should. It doesn't make me confident that he will. And I think there are certain things when you look at personnel-wise that you can, you know, point to. And we've talked a ton this week about not running any play action. Now, it's the first time. You want to talk about Kirk Cousins' past. First time in his career he didn't run any play action in a game. Probably the first time in a lot of people's career that were involved in that, they haven't run any play action in a game. So, yeah, I mean, when you look at personnel and you look at different players, hey, this guy, I remember we beat him on a double move. Hey, this guy really, you know, was downhill in the run game. We ran play action on him. Hey, this guy, you know, his eyes were not in the right place on these bootlegs and things like that. So, yeah, I mean, I think personnel-wise, like you said, it's a different scheme, but personnel-wise, there's definitely things that you can do or from their past that Kirk could probably help out with.
So do they get back to that next week? And I know there were questions about Kirk Cousins' health, but Raheem Morris said, no, that was the game plan last week. You know, he's fine, right? So do we see Kirk Cousins that maybe we're more accustomed to seeing on Monday then?
Let me just
especially
tell you.
Especially now the first game's out of the way. Maybe if you did have any, and I'm not saying he did,
right,
any reservations about the injury or playing on it again. Maybe all that's gone now.
If that's the game plan moving forward, I'm more concerned about his health coming out of it than I am going into it. Let me just put it that way. If you're not going to move him off the spot, I've seen so many like next gen statistics that have come out of this game that people are just kind of dumbfounded by. Like his average movement in the pocket was like, I don't know, I'm just making up this number, but it's like 2.5 yards. It's a full yard or 2 yards or whatever less than his, you know, career average of movement in the pocket. There's just so many things coming out of this, man, and we can kind of talk till we're blue in the face about what they think they should do, but I have no confidence right now for whatever reason. Maybe this is the doom and gloom in me. Maybe this is my one thing.
It's a little doomy and gloomy of you.
Yeah, I want somebody to talk me into the fact that they'll make the changes that I think are necessary, I guess, because I still find it shocking that last week that was the plan, and that's what I keep getting hung up on.
I find your non-optimism a little bit shocking, and the fact that you fight people.
Yeah,
but we learned that earlier in the show. So there's a lot.
I've retired that. Okay?
Well,
these scars on these knuckles are healed.
He's probably about to fight me, because I'm about to tell you something, Mike. And
sorry.
I was not happy with last week either. Okay.
All right.
What are you going to tell
me? But you need to get over it.
Okay.
And now, hear me out.
I thought you were going for the jugular and about something about the offensive line.
No, I wasn't going to call out the offensive line,
even though they were
beating the trenches. You need to get over it. And we all need to get over it. Because if we continue to hark on this, what good is it doing us? We have to turn the page. I was as disappointed going home Sunday as I can remember being in a very long time from a Falcons game.
Yeah.
And I know that that is the same for each and every Falcons fan out there that either tuned in wherever they were in the world. But the reality of the situation was we got our ass kicked. Got our ass kicked up front on both sides of the ball, and our coaching staff got their asses kicked. But guess what? If you think about how bad it was over and over again, and they're in Flowery Branch worried about how bad they got beat, it's going to happen again when we go to Philadelphia.
That was going to be my point, is we're trying to turn the page, but we keep letting last week seep in the process of turning the page.
Yeah.
And we got to see this. You got to see that Zach Ryman's going to say, you know what? I didn't move Kirk off the spot, and I saw him not move at times, but I also saw him move and roll out to his left and throw an accurate pass for a touchdown, and there was no issues.
Right.
I've got to dial up that Kirk Cousins, and whatever happens, happens.
Well, first of all, let me start with the offensive line thing, because I'm going to try to bring this to a level that everybody can kind of understand in terms of the way the offensive line looked. The offensive line was created here based off of Arthur Smith's offense, running wide zone and running play action pass. Right, you move the spot, you move the pocket, you put the quarterback on a run. You don't ask them to drop back 40 times. Bo, we've been doing the show a year and a half now, right? You've been in sports radio how long?
This is year 16.
Okay, so we host a show together. You've been in sports radio for 16 years. You know sports radio. You've been around it. You've practiced it. You've seen it. You've learned it. Whatever else, It's almost like if I had said, hey, Bo, I need you to moderate the debate last night. Yes, you're talking into a microphone, but you're not talking about the same things, right? It in practice, yes, maybe you are doing the same things and bringing up questions and pushing conversation, but it's not the same. And then somebody hits you after the debate last night and goes, man, you really sucked at moderating that debate. That's what this offensive line is dealing with. That's exactly what they're dealing with. You're not playing to their strengths. If you're asking Caleb McGarry to pass protect T.J. Watt 25 times a game or whatever it is. And that's the bottom line. And I'm not covering up for Caleb McGarry. He has to be better. He'd probably be the first one to tell you he has to be better.
Oh, yeah.
But you also have to play to his strengths, and you have to design an offense based on what these guys are good at. Don't try to turn them into something you think they should be or something you saw somebody else do. That's not what this group is. And to me, that's a massive weakness if we're going to move forward with that attitude in Flowery Branch.
I want to come back to that, but I want to hear Coach Morris, because this is the same offense they've been running for quite some time now.
You know, with Kirk being here, we've been doing the same thing since he's been here. And that's how we planned on playing. And we played that way throughout. We played that way for a minute. And we've done a bunch of different things in our case. And everything we're going to do is figuring out how to win this football game. And that was the plan, to go out there and win the football game.
We talked at the top of the show about how I was more mad yesterday than I was Monday or even Sunday. And I think that right there, that rhetoric, is exactly why. Because I just can't, for the life of me, I can't understand how with a week one game that was like the plan. That was the plan. Like, and look, we have to turn the page. I'm trying to do that. I'm slowly trying to. I have ideas in my head about what I want to see. That means they've slightly turned the page, or whatever else you want to call it. But the whole, you know, that was the plan all along, and that's what we wanted to do. I find like the alarm bells just are absolutely massive.
Well, I don't think that anyone thinks that Raheem Morris would be like, yeah, you know, I didn't realize that
Agreed.
Was what we were doing.
Yep.
And I would have not okayed it. Well, then why didn't you decide to change it? Because you know you could have. I wonder why that was the plan all along. And that's where we go. But I can't just sit here and keep wondering. I have to start wondering about what they're going to do to neutralize Zach Bond. Because I don't know if you guys watched Friday, but Zach Bond was freaking everywhere. Dude had 2 sacks and 15 tackles against, you know, a good playoff team from last year. And how are you neutralizing like a guy like that in the middle? Because the thing about Jordan Davis and Jalen Carter, and what makes them good, is they're space eaters, and that you could honestly double team both of them. But that leaves a guy like Zach Bond free on Kirk Cousins, and if he's not moving, you're not moving him. How are you going to neutralize that?
Well, you have to make him pay for triggering early. And if you go back and look, and I know there's been a couple people on socials that have pointed this out. Patrick Queen, the middle linebacker for Pittsburgh, that came over from Baltimore. I mean, every time they are in pistol, he is downhill now. Like, he's not worried about getting beat over the top. He's not worried about an RPO. He's not worried about a bootleg or covering the flat or anything else. He's in the B gap now. So if you want to neutralize the big guys in the middle, you make them move side to side. The only problem is that those linebackers like that are going to be triggering and running downhill, and it doesn't matter if you neutralize the big guys in the middle because those linebackers are going to be in the backfield. So it has to start with play action. And I know, I don't know what Kirk Cousins, if he can't run play action, he shouldn't be in the game. Point blank. Last week. If he can't run a play action or fake a handoff out of the pistol, then there's no point even talking any further.
Can we dispel this notion that you can't run play action from pistol?
No, it's ridiculous.
You can.
You don't even have to move. You can basically turn in a circle and run play action out of pistol. I mean, seriously. It's dumbfounding.
More NFL headlines are on the way, and the Braves bounce back from being shut out. Stay with us here. This is the Morning Shift on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
Sean Murphy, Atlanta is in double digits. That makes it 10-0.
Sean Murphy helping the Braves pile on the Nationals, with Brandon Godden on the call there for Bally Sports as they go on to win that game 12-0, rebounding from being shut out in a 2-hit game by the Reds the previous night. So Braves now back to some winning ways. How long will it last? I don't know. But the shutout from the Reds and then shutting out the Nationals kind of maybe symbolic of what's been going on this whole season. You get the bad, then you get the good, and you wonder how if it will kind of, I don't know, stay just, good?
Just when I think I'm ready to turn the page, they suck me right back in with a 12-0 victory and an offense that just goes ham. Look, I'm gonna try to compartmentalize both those games, to be honest with you, because the truth lies somewhere in the middle, right? I mean, they're not a team that's going to win every night 12-0, and they're not going to get shut out either. But I will say this, the guys that did hit last night are the ones you need to hit, right, moving forward if this team is going to make any run. The Sean Murphys, Orlando Arcias, and Michael Harris bats have got to be the ones that wake up, and that's exactly what you had last night. You can't lean on Urshela, and obviously Whit Merrifield goes down, but you can't lean on those names throughout this stretch run throughout the rest of September if you're going to make noise. You have to rely on the guys that have been there, the former All-Stars, and that's what you got. So it's funny because the highlights, 10-0, and you're, like me and Bo were talking about earlier, it's like, save some of that. Just hold on. Save some of that for later, and we'll see what we can get to, man. But good night last night nonetheless.
Yeah, if you get 7-for-9 from your 3, 4, and 5 hitters every night, With a couple of walks, what, like 3 walks thrown in there or whatever, you're going to win a lot of nights with the pitching staff we have. And it's funny because when Lopez goes down, my neighbor, Brissa, texts me and goes, did Lopez really go down? And I go, does it even matter at this point?
No, dude.
And then they roll off 12 runs.
We didn't even touch on the broken finger, yesterday very much. And it's just it is what it is. Like it just feels like it's Groundhog's Day sometimes when you get these injury reports.
I mean, your hope is Lopez can get healthy if there is a postseason, and if not, then I guess Charlie Morton, if there was to be a 7-game series in a postseason, he just worked his way back into being that fourth starter in a 7-game series.
Let's go in the huddle.
It's time to huddle up.
Bring it in close! Bring it in close!
The latest NFL news, rumors, reports, and happenings
with In the Huddle on the Morning Shift.
Let's start with some news out of the NFC South and the Carolina Panthers. They will be without Derek Brown, their defensive tackle, when they host the Chargers on Sunday. They have placed him on injured reserve after he suffered a knee injury in Sunday's opener in New Orleans. So that is a huge loss for this team. That's what Dave Canales, their head coach, said. He's definitely got some big shoes to fill, but he will be on IR now.
Before we talk about what this means for the division, Let me go down the compassionate player route and say, man, I hope he gets back on his feet. He's a generational talent. I hope that this is a guy that comes back fully healthy and continues his great career with the Carolina Panthers.
Where's okay, the
Bo,
butt?
Now the floor
you're like, okay,
maybe
you're
the
let
best
go.
Interior defensive lineman in the NFC
For sure.
South.
Yeah, yes.
That said, Chris Lindstrom was pouring one out last night because he was like, well, don't got to play him twice this year. It was a torn meniscus, obviously, and I hate it for Derek Brown. He's a local kid. I'm telling you, I would back up the Brinks truck to have that dude on this roster. And I love our defensive line. You know that right now. But I would back up the Brinks trucks for him. That's
he's a game changer.
That's how freaking good he is. And I don't like to see anyone get injured, but it does not bother me that I don't see him twice this season.
Yeah, and that's the caveat I want to start with was, like, it's not like we're cheering for this. But at the same time, you look at it and you look what this means for the Atlanta Falcons and those two matchups later this year. It's funny you say that, and I've told you this story before. You remember the 09 SEC Championship, we're headed in to play Florida again. They're ranked number 1 or 2 or whatever it was, and Carlos Dunlap gets arrested that week.
And he fell asleep.
And at no point was I celebrating him get arrested, but I thought to myself, boy, it's probably going to be really nice not to hit his head on Saturday. And
it's a little
he didn't
different
play.
Than being injured, but.
Yeah, is what? It?
Yeah.
I'm talking about just in terms of the matchups.
I'm saying in terms of why someone's out and what you're cheering for.
I remember
you
that.
You don't want anyone to get arrested.
No, I don't want either one of them to happen, to be honest with you. So.
You don't
want to
get arrested. Don't fall asleep at a stoplight. Were you at left guard then? Or,
yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Just checking.
That was the matchup. Me and Carlos Dunlap, and he was not there anymore. So.
Well, what does the future hold for the 49ers and running back Christian McCaffrey? Head coach Kyle Shanahan said he is dealing with both a calf injury and Achilles tendonitis. So they are having to be, as Shanahan said, cautious about not allowing McCaffrey to aggravate the injury. That is significant.
Yeah, and Shanahan didn't really want to talk about it, Tiff. He was just kind of like, hey, you guys can ask Christian more about this. That,
yeah.
That Achilles tendonitis kind of thing is it's kind of one that would worry me a little bit. I think that you look at what they did last week with Jordan Mason running the football and how they ran it down. What I always thought was a pretty good defensive front's throat makes you feel a lot better and makes you feel like you have patience with this.
You know what's funny about this too is it's not funny, but you and I were talking.
Kind of ironic.
Yeah, it's ironic, and I think you and I were talking, I don't know if we were talking about fantasy or Vegas over-unders a couple of weeks ago, and you're talking about Christian McCaffrey's numbers from last year and, you know, how that there's some of the numbers are a little bit lower. And I'm like, the bottom line is, this is a guy who was fully healthy last year, and it seems like it was the first time he had been fully healthy the entire season in a really long time. So I think if you're a Niners fan and you're looking at it saying, hey, this is the other shoe that drops on Christian McCaffrey, then I'm fine with it. I'd rather it be this than something else down that stretch run. But nonetheless, that is a very, very good player that they will be missing possibly more than just week one. And I don't blame him for not wanting to answer the questions either. A lot of caveats to that whole situation.
I mean, he said if it was a playoff game that he would be playing in it. He also was not asked during his press conference why they were not more transparent about that injury. Remember all that came out after the game. Okay, moving along here, your Cowboys, if some of you are Cowboys fans out there.
I was looking around like, who's Cowboys?
Nope. Not my Cowboys.
Day-day, you Cowboys.
Those Cowboys fans are everywhere. All right. So, Dak Prescott, the contract, getting that deal done. It all took a very long time, and perhaps maybe throughout it all, some feelings might have been hurt during it, but apparently, according to Jerry Jones, that's all solved now.
I've never seen anybody get their feelings hurt enough that the money couldn't cure.
So, money cures all.
Put it on a shirt. Put it on a shirt.
We should put that on a shirt.
I expect nothing else from a Texas billionaire who made his money off oil. I think that's like the most own-brand thing I've ever heard. Mm-hmm. For all the people that love to rip Jerry, and I am one of them, I mean, he said some goofy things. Like when one time he was asked about a contract, he goes, well, I've been thinking about a lot in the shower. And he brought up he said glory hole in a comment one time. I mean, which is a Texas oil, reference. But for all the weirdness that he's done, this is the greatest thing I've ever heard come out of his mouth.
And unless you've been under a rock, you know that Jerry was talking about signing Dak Prescott, them being able to agree to a record-setting $240 million contract extension.
Well-deserved, too. And it's funny that he played Deshaun that literally hours after it being announced and showed which one's actually worth the money and which one's not.
I'd love to know what the length of the contract was that Dak's people was asking for, because we talked about Diana Rossini, I think it was last week,
yeah,
and we talked about how she kind of reported that it was the length of the contract. I wonder if they were offering him like the 4 years and he wanted five or six, and then, you know, the numbers were kind of a little bit different. But yeah, I'm with you, man. Money well spent. I'm a big Dak fan. I'm a big believer in Dak. And just because you don't win the Super Bowl every stinking year doesn't mean he's a great quarterback. So
they're in the cover.
Kind of how I feel about it.
I mean, Aaron Rodgers is considered one of the top five of all time. Am I wrong? And he's won it once. So, I mean, yeah, I think
Dallas is an entirely different beast.
That's true.
The city, the fandom, all of it. Hey, this hour brought to you by Zero Res, smart, lasting, clean. What you got for my
Tiff? You already know it's Which One Wednesday. It's your favorite segment of the week. Favorite segment of the week. How about this one to piggyback on that last topic? Which one would you rather start a franchise with right now, Dak Prescott or CJ Stroud? Don't answer it. Coming up on the other side, it's Which One Wednesday. It's mic'd up. It's on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
Mornings on The Game means more of the morning shift.
Nice.
The Morning Shift is brought to you by Greater Atlanta Erie McDonald's. Download the app for great deals.
On Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
It's time to rant.
Excuse me?
It's time to rage.
It's time for Mic'd Up.
On The Morning Shift.
Brought to you by the Lexus Golden Opportunity Sales Event.
Hello. It is Mic'd Up. It's Which One Wednesday here on The Morning Shift. If you've never heard the way the game is played, I ask the decision, Tiff and Bo make the decision. It is a debate-style format. Dylon behind the glass will judge whose answers actually make more sense.
You know what
now,
to do.
Dylon, here's the thing. Tiff was victorious a week ago. I'm going to challenge Dylon, all right, to make sure that we don't let Bo's politician speak kind of edge into this thing, because he has tended recently to just make a lot of words and not a lot of good points. All right, so let's start there.
I'm here for it.
All right.
Just because you don't agree with my points doesn't mean they're not good points.
They're not points at all, is my point. They're just, you're just talking in circles. How about this one? If the Falcons were to go 2-2 over the next 4 weeks, all right, follow me here. Falcons were to go 2-2 over the next 4 weeks, what would make you feel better? They beat the Eagles and the Chiefs, and they lose to the Bucs and the Saints? Or they lose to the Eagles and Chiefs, and they beat the Bucs and the Saints? Which one would make you feel better about the Atlanta Falcons moving forward? Bo, we'll start with you.
Well, what would make me feel better is being 2-2 with two games up on my division rivals, because, you know, you beat them. It counts as not only as basically counts as two losses. Not only do you beat them and you give them an L, but you also put yourself a leg up in the division as far as a tiebreaker with that team. Now, you want to obviously finish, but this is a tough, tough schedule to start.
All right, so,
and you want to win in division games to give yourself tiebreakers over those teams.
I understand the division is extremely important. I understand that. But you're also talking about beating the Eagles. You're also talking about beating the Chiefs and rebounding from an ugly loss to the Steelers. And so I feel like if you're going to take out the Chiefs, that is... You're talking about the Super Bowl champs.
Yeah, how does that help you make the playoffs?
Not much has changed for them, right?
What does that do for you in the playoff race?
I understand what you're saying. I think it gives you some momentum. I think it gives you a ton of momentum as you move forward the rest of the season. The fact that you were able to not only take down the Chiefs, but also the Eagles, two Super Bowl teams.
Two really good teams.
Right?
Yeah. Two really good teams.
I think that speaks volumes.
I'll just take being 2-2 over
it's
the next
momentum.
Four after that.
It's momentum.
Both very solid points. All right, how about this one? You're at football practice during training camp, all right? Which one do you think you'd be better at? Would you be better at catching punts while being sprayed with a water hose, which is what they do nowadays, all right? Or would you be better in a fumble drill on a slip and slide? Better at catching punts while being sprayed with a water hose or a fumble drill on a slip and slide? Tiff, we'll start with you.
I will say, you know what? I'm going to go ahead and say Bo would be better on the slip and slide because he's shorter and a little more, what's the word, like feisty is what you would say to describe people like Bo.
A badger.
Come at you like a spider monkey.
So I feel like he would be good in that.
And then for me, definitely punts. I feel like I can handle that with ease. But I want to go ahead and just go ahead and, you know, give you a little hat tip there, Bo.
Well, I'm going to tell you something. I think Tiff's right. I'll be honest with you, because you know why? Because I'm going to have a hell of a lot more fun going after a football on a slip and slide than having some clown spray me in my face with a water hose. And I am better at things I enjoy. So give me the slip and slide, baby. I'll lube this body all up.
You went too far!
Too far!
I don't need to hear all that. All right, who has more audacity? Somebody that hits up an ex for a favor, like a long-term ex for a favor? Or somebody that hits up a never was for a favor, just a one-off date, and you haven't talked to him in years. Which one is more audacious? Is it somebody, I have an ex-girlfriend I dated for 2 years. Let me hit her up and see if I can ask her for something. Or is it like, dude, you're an acquaintance. I don't even know you. Which one has more audacity? Tiff, we'll start with
you. I was almost tempted to say the relationship one, because it's like you're with someone for 2 years. It ended for probably whatever reason. Don't ever want to talk to them again.
Yeah.
But the fact that a one-off date decided to text me, call me, then text me, and hit me with the "Hey Tiff,
hey,
can you do this for me?" And I haven't spoken to you in 3 years and forgot that you existed. That is some audacity right there.
She was this close to going full on rock and saying, "Know your role and shut your mouth."
Like, well, who is this? I had to ask, who is this?
I tend to agree with her, but however, if you've treated someone you were in a relationship with like trash for however, the duration of the relationship, whether it was 6 weeks or 6 years, and then you get a couple of years down the road and you have the audacity to turn around and ask that person for something, ask them for kindness, when you treated them like you had nothing but hatred for them in your heart for years, how dare you sir or ma'am.
Dylan, if I could just throw this into the mix, just sprinkle it in there. Not everything ends poorly, right? Maybe the relationship was a decent relationship.
Amicable. Yeah, well, so let me tell you something.
That's actually a valid point.
Let me tell you something. Amicable. The numbers bear out that most end poorly, all
most
right?
Most didn't end very well. All right, let me piggyback on that. Would you rather be asked for a favor of time or a favor of financial consequence? Time. Would you rather somebody ask you for a favor and give you time? Or say, hey, my kid's selling candy bars for Chorus. We need you to buy one. What do you think, Tiff?
Financial, by far.
You're like, put the money in the plate, baby. Let me move on.
And we have some sort of relationship, then I will give you my time, which is sparingly this time of year. Yeah. So you want to hit me up for some cash? I will gladly.
Like, send the Venmo.
Bump that. Time, baby. You ain't getting in my pockets, all right? Let's just go ahead and go. I work my ass off for my money. I don't know what you're... How do I know you're using it for what you say you're using it? How do you know your kid's little fundraiser ain't a fraud? There are a lot of thieves out there these days running these scammers. I ain't about that. Yeah. I'll give you my time because I know...
You were talking about breakups being mostly probably
done.
Bad. I would say most child fundraisers are not fraudulent.
I'm not done. I don't know where it's going, but I know where my time is going, and I know that I can pull back my effort if I know that it's a misplaced venture that we're on.
All right, let's do two quick ones really quick. All right, I'm going to challenge y'all here. How about this one? And I teased it. Would you rather start a franchise right now with Dak Prescott or C.J. Stroud? Dak Prescott or C.J. Stroud starting a franchise right now? Bo, we'll start with you.
Finally, I mean, she's only went four times in a row first. C.J. Stroud, he is phenomenal. The kid is coachable. He is a stud. He is young. And he's on a rookie deal. Give me C.J. Stroud all day long.
What do you think, Tiff? Rather start with Dak Prescott right now or C.J.? C.J. Stroud is all those things, but he's only started, 18 games? So
exactly. I will say, I do know how both of these young men are held in high regards in each of their locker rooms. That takes a lot for a rookie to come out and do that, like a C.J. Stroud walking into a locker room where you have veterans as well, being a youth. I will say, though, Dak, I don't believe, has been given a fair shake in Dallas with the fan-wise because they want to usher him out. Yeah. So just because he already picked C.J. Stroud, then I will say Dak Prescott because I'm taking the veteran leadership. Mm. I am taking someone that's been to the playoffs. I'm taking someone that's probably getting a fresh start with me and a new lease on life.
All right, real quick, you guys got 10 seconds each. All right, if you were an AP poll voter, would you be the kind of person that drops somebody based on the eye test? Or would you be somebody that a win is a win, and if they win, they're staying where they're at in the AP poll? Drop somebody on the eye test, or a win is a win, they're staying where they're at. Bo, what do you think?
Well, I would understand that if I was an AP voter, it probably means I'm a writer, and I don't know what the hell I'm looking at most of the time anyways. Wins matter in college football. Win and you're in. It's been the formula for 100 years. Why are we trying to change it and let people who don't know what they're watching all of a sudden have the power to say they know what they're watching?
Oh, you just take a shot at writers?
Just catching strays out there. Just random writers catching strays.
Probably on a daily basis.
There's somewhere there's a writer going. Those radio hosts, they have no idea.
Exactly. They sit up there spouting off crazy things.
They write bad things about us.
I'm going with the win category because you need the wins to determine.
Win is a win.
Win is a win. Yes, but also where, who the opponent was, all that factors into the win column. So not just the eye test.
All right, Dylan, what you got?
Tiffany, you battled Bo very tough, and I am very proud of you for your effort. However,
you are ridiculous.
However,
how in the world are you gonna? He didn't even give any points.
He gave a bunch of points.
You just fell for the politics.
I don't think I've ever been genuinely more dumbfounded.
Y'all hush, Dylan. This is ridiculous. Finish your sentence.
I'm walking out.
Tiffany, you battled hard, and you made some good points.
Won.
And you argued well against Bo.
I am just the host. I have never been more dumbfounded.
He was on his A game, just like the Atlanta Braves.
I thought she ran away with this one.
That's right. That's right. That's right, Dylan.
Did he line your pockets? Is that what happened?
No, he didn't. I thought he made a better point about the division the division is more
sorry,
important
Tiff.
Than the other
I thought
games.
You ran away with it, Tiff. I'll be honest.
Had some time.
And I not even shot at Bo. I just didn't think it was close.
Regained my crown.
Whatever, clowns.
Reigning. Defending. Right. Undisputed.
I was very impressed with your performance.
This is one of your best. You're dead to me. When we come back here on the morning shift, it is time for the wake-up call. You want to give Dylan a wake-up call for picking Bo as the winner of Which One Wednesday, you can do just that. Or maybe you have some plans you would like to share for us of what the Falcons need to do to beat the Eagles? Lay it out for us. Give us a call, 404-726-0929. The wake-up call is next on the Morning Shift on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. You're trash, Dylan.
Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
An Odyssey Sports Station.
Good morning.
Yeah!
Back to more of the Morning Shift
with Tiffany, Mike, and Bo.
The Morning Shift is brought to you by Greater Atlanta Harry McDonald's. Download the app for great deals.
On Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
Well, in our 8 o'clock hour, it is brought to you by Mark Spain Real Estate. Go to markspain.com to get a guaranteed offer on your home today and start packing. It is time for the wake-up call. That's right. You can call us about which one Wednesday and how I was just robbed.
I was going to say, Dylan. I think Dylan's going to need Morgan and Morgan and possibly Mark Spain.
Please.
And I guess for his ears, maybe zero rest.
Need someone to have my back.
Yeah.
Or you can weigh in on what you think the Falcons need to do to beat the Eagles in Monday Night Football this week. Lay out your game plan, but keep it short. So call us at 404-726-0929. What do you want?
I just have two quick wake-up calls. Two very quick ones. Number one, if you think my decision was wrong, you might need to wake up. And then two,
lame.
I have to give – this wake-up call is not a criticism, but a shout-out. Shout-out to Tiffany's amazing friend Denzel, because if you remember, a few weeks back, myself, Ali Mack, and Mike were hosting, and we got into the topic of me only having one television.
Yeah, it's just crazy.
In my apartment. Denzel was kind enough to actually gift me a television that, that he had in his storage.
He did. Yeah. He hit me up.
Denzel gave this man a TV?
Denzel sure did. Denzel hit me up and said, hey.
Play the clap track. Play the clap.
So we will applaud my boy.
That's pretty awesome.
My boy Denzel.
Yeah. Shout out to Denzel.
Big time. Shout out to Denzel.
Hooked you up. And just to be clear, it wasn't the fact you have one television. It's the fact that you unplugged that TV from your living room and you take it
into
your bedroom
into
at night.
Room.
That was the concerning part.
Well, that's just life.
I think Denzel did a great deed, and I appreciate him being nice to you. However, Denzel, this man just went to Brazil, and he's about to go to Philadelphia over the weekend.
Hey, no,
so
don't go there.
He had an extra, he's not needy.
He had a spare.
You should have kept that TV, Denzel.
He had a spare.
I thought you were going to say, Denzel, I need a TV too.
Right. I'm glad it worked out.
I could connect you to an extra one.
Glad that you also still handed me an L. But whatever.
That's a good point.
I wasn't trying to buy the win. I didn't want, me feeling good about you helping me set that up with Denzel to interfere
so that's
with.
Why
it was reactionary.
No.
I was completely objective and I kept the.
Wait, you know what?
What happened in here?
You know what? We're just going to go
to bring
the lines
outside world into
it. You can't dig yourself out of this hole. All right. Let's say good morning to Chase and Jefferson. What's happening?
What up, Chase?
Hey, good morning, guys. How we doing?
Good, man.
Good. Hey, so don't want to be a negative Nancy. So overall on the Falcons, and sorry if I'm beating a dead horse, I didn't get a chance to listen in or call in yesterday, but just while it's fresh on my mind, I think what the Falcons fans, or at least speaking for myself more specifically, are tired of is, we're tired of getting sold a bill of goods. We're a quarterback away. So in the free agency, we've done well. I love what they've done on the defensive side of the ball, but all offseason we heard, man, we've got the highest rated offensive line in football, man. Drake London, he's never had somebody thrown him the ball. And, but Kyle Pitts is a unicorn. And this, so I think we've really struggled in the draft to get our draft picks to hit, because maybe I'm alone on this. I don't really get the A.J. Terrell hype. I mean, the guy gets burned. He has a lot of pass interference calls. He had zero interceptions last year. He got truck-sticked like a child by Najee Harris on Sunday. Outside of Bijan Robinson, man, I really don't. And Kyle Pitts, I've said it since we drafted him, I didn't like it when we took him at four. He's got effort problems. I mean, it's plain as day. People who don't know anything about football and people who are very knowledgeable of the game of football. If you watch Kyle Pitts, he's not running full speed. He's not laying it all on the line. I mean, he's not worth a first-round pick, not even in the conversation of a top 10 pick. So, and then Drake London. Drake London is a great 50-50 ball guy, but in my humble opinion, he's having to catch all these 50-50 balls because he can't create separation.
All right, I've heard enough.
Chase, we love you. Chase, we love you. I thought you started this by saying you didn't want to be a negative Nancy.
That was a
checklist of negative Nancy's.
How are you going to criticize Drake London for what he hasn't done when it's been acknowledged that he hasn't had a quarterback for 2 years here, and this is his first year? A.J. Terrell does not have a plethora of pass interference calls. In fact, why don't you do this, Chase? You find me one defensive back in the NFL that hasn't that doesn't get burned, that hasn't never been burned. And I'm going to tell you something. The guy who's considered the best in the league right now is Sauce Gardner. Probably could get a holding call on every time he goes down the field. I don't.
Yeah, I won't take the A.J. Terrell slander yet.
Well, I won't.
And here's the other thing. He got truck stick by Najee. He thought Najee was going out of bounds, and Najee decided to, you know, get that one last step in and truck him, because if A.J. Terrell lowers the boom, he's going to get a late hit. So I don't like that either. But you can talk about Kyle Pitts if you want to. I think that story hasn't been written just yet.
Najee Harris also has 50 freaking pounds on A.J. Terrell.
Exactly. And Chase, I had high hopes for that call. And we love you, man. But that you
disappointing.
That was negative.
We're going to keep it moving fast so we can try to get to all of you. And let's go to Chief. Good morning, Chief.
What's happening, Chief? good morning, Black Moon and All American. And good morning to the champion and still champion of all champions.
It's unbelievable.
Leader of the nation.
It really is unbelievable.
Let's keep it moving here, Chief.
That's not right. You know, sometimes you got to take a loss like the way it is. I mean, beat you down.
That's right, Chief.
I'm with Dylan.
Trying to keep it tight so we can get these other folks in.
Anyway, Chief, let me get to yesterday. I didn't get a chance to call in and weigh in on the whole Jay-Z thing. And me being a hip hop connoisseur of the Tribal Chief Nation, Jay-Z, the whole thing, the history with the guys, and the quick thing is that he doesn't like Lil Wayne. So Wayne, he actually should be doing this whole Super Bowl thing. I love Kendrick. And everybody know who listened to the station early in the morning, listen to Grill and Dealing. They know I love myself some Kendrick Lamar. But at the same time, Jay-Z, stop being so personal. Everything's personal with him and Beyonce. And I'm telling you guys, it's all personal because Lil Wayne deserves to have this whole show to himself.
Yeah.
I'm out.
Thanks, man.
Appreciate it, Chief.
You know what?
Dylan, you want to weigh in there?
Hold on. There's an article out there about this.
I think there's multiple articles out there about this.
About Kendrick Lamar's influence, the Jay-Z influence on NFL owners.
Yeah, there is a huge influence there. Now, I will say this. As of recently, everything we've seen interaction-wise between Jay-Z and Lil Wayne has been positive. I mean, they've been seen together in a studio just, I think, 2-3 days ago, and they were hugging. And so I don't think there is currently beef there. Now, they did have a long-lasting beef some years ago. Did that play into it? Maybe. But me personally, I don't think that
pop culture.
I think they're over that, and I don't think that weighed in. I honestly think Kendrick Lamar's momentum with the beef with Drake and everything, I think that played into it more. And Lil Wayne is a little age, I think a little plays into it.
All right, we're going back.
Tiff is not here for your explanation right now.
It's not that I'm not here for anything, Dylan. But I'm just trying to keep it moving today.
Yeah, you know? Dylan.
And if Dylan opens his mouth, it makes me want to go back to the lines faster.
Oh,
good morning to Tinker in Kennesaw.
Good morning, man.
What's
good
up, morning. Tank?
Hit that Squid News show.
That's right, baby. Boy, we dominated.
They don't have a
flam,
flam, flam.
I was listening to that horn going off yesterday morning. but my wake-up call is to all the brides-to-be coming up these next handful of months. Shame on you for having a wedding date during football season. And when you're coming down the aisle, everybody looking down, just watching the game. They're not watching you. Oh, and then
you
see the groomsmen.
Do you have a wedding coming up this fall?
No, Tink, don't go.
Oh, no, I'm at the age now where you're in that in-between. Yeah. But I always hear about it, and I have been part of them.
In between the first and second one?
As that bride's coming down, and you see your groomsman, and his hands are all nervous. He's not nervous that you're coming down and about to do the vows. He's got an earbud in his right ear, and the score just changed.
Oh, my goodness. I love it.
Classic thing.
In between the divorce being finalized and the next one going to the courthouse is where it is.
No fall weddings. Okay, let's go to Bo in Southwest Atlanta. Good morning.
Hey, good morning, everyone. And shout out Squid Nation.
Oh, my God.
You roll with the Squid.
Love it, Bo. Great name, by the way.
Hey, thank you, Eric. Yeah, let's see what you think of that, though. So I have to ride with Tiff on the overall record versus division record in football, though.
Thank you.
Because, you know, it's great, but, you know, for instance, like, to keep it simple, if you went undefeated in your division, 6-0, but yet you lost every division game and you're 6-11. You're not going. So you can be really winless in your division at 11-6, say, for instance, 11 non-division, 6 the division, you're going to go to the playoffs. So overall record is just as important, if not more. The division records for tiebreakers. Wouldn't you say that, Bo? Yeah.
No, you're absolutely right. The reality, though, is I think you're going to be in a dogfight for this division. And I think the conference wins, which the Chiefs wouldn't give you, and division wins could come down to being tiebreaker. But you're absolutely right. You can win every division game and lose all the rest, and you ain't going nowhere.
I will say this. The question was, what would give you more confidence moving forward? And I have to kind of agree with Tiff that if they beat the Chiefs and the Eagles, I think I'd have more confidence in what the Atlanta Falcons were doing moving forward. I mean, maybe more confidence to win the division if you beat the other two. But when you talk about Eagles and Chiefs, I think I'd have more confidence moving forward. So I will say that. But, yeah, this is a good call.
All right, we appreciate all the wake-up calls this morning. And also, today is the day that we remember the 9/11 attack. So it's been 23 years, which is...
hard to imagine it's been that long.
Do you guys remember exactly where you were? I'm assuming. I was
I
think, first period in high school as a freshman.
I was a sophomore in gym. And, yeah.
Yeah, it was, I was in college, and I remember waking up on the couch that morning and hearing the news. I was at my parents' house, and I had just blown away at what was going on. It was just crazy.
Disbelief,
we had the tube TVs out in our hallways in high school, and we were all kind of changing classes. And I remember thinking somebody was playing a movie. I remember looking up thinking somebody was playing a movie, and then you realize it was actually what was going on.
Yeah, we had the two monitors in the gym, and yeah. I was sitting on the floor looking up and just could not believe what we were all seeing.
Did they, for those of you in high school, because it was like my off day of college, but did they, because, I didn't go every day, did they let y'all watch it the rest of the day, the coverage, or?
We watched it for, I think, the next two classes, and because I remember watching live as the second one went down, and then I don't think we watched it pretty much the rest of the day because it was just so shocking. Like, it had all kind of happened, and there was still more fallout. You caught a little bit, like I said, out in the hallways the rest of the day, but just a couple of periods, I think, for us.
Yeah, certainly a day, obviously, that none of us will ever forget. So we just wanted to at least pay our respects, and I know we're in the time frame of when the attacks began.
Yeah.
And so we're thinking of everyone that was affected today and continues to be. We'll be right back here on The Morning Shift on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
Yes, it is a lovely morning, isn't it?
Now, more of The Morning Shift. The Morning Shift is brought to you by Greater Atlanta Erie McDonald's. Download the app for great deals.
On Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
Back here on The Morning Shift, and we are in the process of turning the page from last week's loss to the Steelers.
Some of us are.
Some people are here. Me, I've already moved on.
You talking about Garrett? Who are you talking about? Me?
Just want to throw Dylan under the bus just because?
I am in the process.
Hey, Dylan, are you going to cheer for the Eagles next week?
Ooh.
Wow. You went that route, Tiffany?
Oh, he's going, Tiffany.
You went that route? You went that route?
Are you?
Yes, I am going to the game, Simone and I. And I will be cheering for it, the Falcons, because I am a Falcons fan.
Okay.
Despite how many false narratives get started on this show by some people.
Can I give you some advice?
Interesting.
Please, give me some advice.
You should go, and if you're not going to cheer for the Eagles, your team, and wear your Eagles gear, you should just be neutral and not say a word.
I don't.
How about this?
One, you're right. The second part of your point was right. Two, I don't have Eagles gear. I borrowed a hoodie from Simone because I was being a supportive boyfriend. I lost a bet.
This is going to be on Fair Foul Friday. Fair Foul, Simone is making Dylan a shirt that says, "Go Birds." You know what I mean?
That's
100% fair, right? It's just going to say, "Go Birds."
I don't think
it might have glitter on it, too.
Because I don't think Eagles fans, I think that would be an automatic out. He would be outed pretty quickly with the Go Birds.
But either way, though, is what I'm saying.
Eagles fans are going to sniff that out. They're going to be like, you're a Falcons fan trying to just slide through.
Oh, then you think he'd catch it from Eagles fans.
And
Can I tell y'all that Simone has, though, tried to convert me multiple times to be an Eagles fan, and I keep telling her no. It's not happening.
On a scale from 1 to 10, how much Falcons swag will you wear?
I plan on wearing a jersey and a hat.
Unless it's 10 out of 10, then you don't need to talk.
You should wear none in that stadium. I'm telling you.
Bad luck is what you're saying?
I'm gonna tell you something. It might be more dangerous in sitting in a seat in Philadelphia's in a Lincoln Financial Field with a Falcons jersey on than it would be if you were walking around with dollar bills hanging from a necklace in Brazil. I'll tell you that much.
You know what? I'd say he's much safer up there than he is in the studio with only the glass separating us after you rob me of my victory.
You might want to lock that door after the show.
You did a great job.
You heard her.
You did a great job.
No, when people are wrong, it makes me angry.
I just want the record to show that she's being a much sore loser this week than I was last week when I was robbed.
I actually won this one.
And you did
I'm just about standing
amazing.
Up for what's right.
This is your best performance, but even sometimes your best performance, you still lose.
No.
Your best wasn't good enough. Worst was still better than your best. How about that?
You know what? Okay, well, the Falcons put out their best against the Eagles, and the Eagles' defense on Monday.
Look,
also flipped to talk about the other side of the ball, too.
Yeah, I've been looking at the numbers. If you want to talk about offense and defense, first off, Kirk Cousins has got a lot of familiarity playing the division against the Eagles, but he's played them the last 2 years. And 22 was a very, very elite Eagles defense, and they took care of Kirk, and he threw 3 interceptions. But last year, the defense was good but more vulnerable, and he threw for 4 touchdowns against them. But what I was looking at was the fact that this Eagles defense in week 1, and if we're going to criticize the Falcons on what they were week 1, we need to talk about what the Eagles defense wasn't in week 1. And that was they gave up 29 points, but the alarming fact for me was, Mike, is this was a rush defense that gave up a ton of yards last season late in the year. And they turned around in the 24 opener and gave up 163 more yards, allowing almost 8 yards, 7.8 a clip. And to me, that is somewhere where the Falcons can look at and maybe attack.
Yeah, it's going to be an ongoing conversation, guys. And I'm going to put my hand down right now. I'm turning the page right now.
All
right,
finally.
8:29 on Wednesday. I'm turning the page right now. Because here's the thing. There's no way it's going to look like it did last week. It's impossible, right? And the good thing is, I think you learned a lot, and we learned a little bit about Kirk's mobility. I think Zach Robinson learned a lot. But here's the simple fact. You start out, you come out in shotgun, you don't throw the ball, right? Maybe Kirk is not mobile, but there's other ways to get around that as well. And you picture college, you picture zone reads. We saw it with Desmond Ridder a number of times last year. But you can also kind of turn that into a triple option style, put a guy in the slot, right, that you can make quick throws out to after zone reads. So you can start with a shotgun formation, fake the handoff, throw the outs to, you know, the slot receiver and use that as your mobility. Use that as an extension of the run game. It doesn't have to be bootlegs and everything else. And then you get in a pistol, and you throw the ball, and you run play action, and you have Kirk hand around, fake a handoff, stick his foot in the ground, and rifle the ball down the middle. And so let's just start right there as part of the game plan. Yes, maybe Kirk is not mobile. Maybe he's not 100% healthy. I'm not asking you to move that far. Just simply pivot your feet, get your shoulders pointed in the right direction, and let it rip. And if you can't do that, then somebody else should be playing that spot for right now until he is fully capable, because you are just putting him further at risk of not moving him at all in the pocket and allowing them to tee off on him.
If you put somebody else in that spot right now, doesn't that put the Falcons in a predicament, in a spot the rest of the way?
Let's just talk about it the same way you would like Green Bay and Jordan Love, right? He has the injury. You're going to probably start Malik Willis this week. That's what it is to me. Malik Willis might go off. He's not going to take Jordan Love's spot, right? Jordan
it's not
Love
the
has
same
paid a
situation.
I have to agree with Tiffany on this one. It's not the same situation.
Why not?
You have a draft pick that came after you just paid that man, Kirk Cousins, all that money, and then the uproar from – and I know you say you don't listen. People say they don't listen to what's going on the outside.
Oh, I do.
But, you know, all that was playing out during the offseason over why would you draft Michael Penix?
Here's what I think is similar about it. You're paying Jordan Love a ton of money, and you're paying Kirk Cousins a ton of money. If they're both not fully healthy, then their backup right now is not making much money, right? And that's the thing. You can talk about invested draft capital all we want to. That's not going to keep, you know, some other guys locked into the starting lineup either. I mean, it just is what it is right now.
They're still not the same.
It's not. Tiffany's spot on. One of them is a third round draft pick who you traded a seventh round pick for, who has failed already. The other is the eighth overall pick
that came on the heels after you got Kirk Cousins.
I think we're just coming at it from two different angles.
Let me tell you this: if Kirk Cousins is not healthy enough to play, and you say we're going to sit you on the sidelines for 3 or 4 weeks, and Michael Penix goes, say 4 weeks, and Michael Penix goes 3-1 in those games, there is no way in hell that they're going back, because this one, it's there's going to be, this city will burn to the ground.
I completely disagree.
Because they want to see a winner.
You're not going to pay a backup quarterback $45 million, guys.
Let me tell you something. First off, I would agree with you.
You're firing yourself.
I would agree with you 99 out of 100 times. But I sat here in this very seat in front of this very microphone with both of you in the very same spots you are and said, you don't go pay a quarterback $45 a year and draft a player who won't play for 3 years to sit there. You don't do it. Makes no sense. And that's exactly what they did. So I will tell you that I wish I could back you up on this, because what was the date? Was it April 29th? If April 29th had not had happened, or April 27th, or whatever day it was, I would have been agreeing you. However, this team is in win-now mode. Matthew Judon is here to win now.
That's
Justin Simmons
saying.
Is here to win now. You go with the best chance. I've seen Tom Brady upseat Drew Bledsoe when Drew Bledsoe was paid top dollar at that point in time in the league. It was a lot less. You're
trying to win games.
But you're here to win, man. Just win, baby.
Agree to disagree, man.
No, you're wrong. Again.
We can't agree to disagree.
Had the 2024 draft not happened, I would be fighting you.
You're not using your brain. I'm disappointed.
Let me tell you something. Hold on a second. Let me tell you something. You watch your damn mouth. Yeah. I use my brain. No. I was logical the entire time talking about this whole thing.
Right,
let me tell you something. I will say something bad about an offensive lineman if you keep this up.
You were a typical Twitter person that you don't like. You weren't thinking.
We had this conversation. The offensive line done their job.
Look, I told you about the giveaway. Now is the time to call in to try to win a pair of tickets to Atlanta United's home match against Montreal on Wednesday, October 2nd at Mercedes-Benz Stadium at 7:30. Call us now, 404-726-0929. Caller number 9 wins. You can also get tickets on sale at atlutd.com. When we come back, we've got some steak tips. Stay with us here on The Morning Shift on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. That's if Bo's still alive after this.
It's more than just sports talk. This is The Morning Shift.
I'm in. Me too.
The Morning Shift is brought to you by Greater Atlanta Erie McDonald's. Download the app for great deals.
On Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
But I think that'll change for C.J. Abrams.
Arcia gets into this to right center field.
Go.
That ball is still going. And it's gone into the front row. Orlando Arcia, see you later. Solo Jack, it's 8-0.
Brandon Godden of the call of a Braves 12-2 win against the Nationals after they bounced back from being shut out against the Reds in what was just a two-hit affair for them. So quite the different story.
Yeah, and Matt Holtson, if you want to buy into his stock right now, he stays hot. He was one of the guys that – he's the only guy that got the two hits on the aforementioned Reds game that you talked about, Tiffany. He got three more hits last night and a couple RBIs. And, you know, Marcell Ozuna, I think he was on base every time last night. And he had a walk. I think he got hit by a pitch, had a hit. So that part of the lineup stays hot. And Michael Harris, giddy up.
I'm going to give you credit and then ask you a question. You know the Braves starting pitchers like very few people do. Max Fried goes tonight. Renaldo Lopez exited last night. You have not announced your probables for this wraparound weekend with the Dodgers coming up. Any projections from you as far as what you want to see this weekend from starting pitchers?
With the Dodgers, you said?
Yeah.
Well, I think you'll see Schwellenbach probably start the series.
Okay.
And then Chris Sale. And then you would see Morton on Saturday, and then the Sunday one. I'm curious where you go. I don't know if Ian Anderson is on that 40-man roster.
Back to Grant Holmes.
Well, the problem is you've been using him for just like an inning or two, so yeah. I don't know.
Hey, I just want to announce the winner of the Atlanta United ticket giveaway. It is Matt from McDonough. So congrats on winning that pair of tickets to Atlanta United's home match against Montreal on Wednesday, October 2nd at Mercedes-Benz Stadium at 7:30. You can also get your tickets on sale now at atlutd.com. It is time for some steak tips.
The godfather of Atlanta sports radio has now stepped in the building.
Now you come to me and you say, give me justice, which is not ask for respect. You don't offer friendship. You don't even think to call me godfather.
It's Wednesday on the morning shift.
It's Wednesday. Wednesday.
And Wednesdays are reserved for steak tips.
Brought to you by the W Sauce and Status Truck and Trailer Repair. Driven by excellence, building successful partnerships. Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
I think that the Godfather cut in there is maybe inappropriate. We should get like Tony Soprano screaming at somebody for you. Have you watched the Sopranos special that the HBO Max just did, or HBO just
it's did already
with David
out?
Chase. Yeah, they have. It's two episodes that basically document the TV show. David Chase is being interviewed.
I'm a Sopranos freak.
Yeah.
So whether it's the podcast, whether it's listening back to the director's cut, any of it. So, yeah.
Yeah,
I'm happy to do it.
What's up?
Two squats. Give me two squats of Mio.
I'm a skinnier Tony Soprano. Right? I'm a skinnier version. I'm
That's
trying
true.
To be.
You've definitely changed some body
body composition.
Yes, since I first met you.
I changed some body composition. I've changed in the last couple of years.
Since I first met you,
I see old episodes of Atlanta Eats. It's like, wow, you were eating your feelings those years.
You definitely ate the product you tested.
Yeah, I was like, I wasn't taking little bites. I was eating every dish that came out. I was finishing.
You weren't sampling.
No, they asked me. I go, yeah, I take bites. I don't eat the whole dish. Yeah. Anyway, talking about 9/11 on Steak Tips today. It is funny with all the vitriol. And it's not just Tyreek Hill. It's any athlete. And you get on social and people want to talk about pampered athletes. And they're so frustrated and perspective. And there's some, you know, listen, you can't necessarily blame a group that's never been had the choices of athletes that came before them. And I'm talking about really 40s, 50s, 60s when folks were enlisting. But, you know, on 9/11, you should think about Pat Tillman, because Pat Tillman was playing in the National Football League, and Pat Tillman was at the highest level of his game. And before there was Pat Tillman, there was Bob Feller, who was one of the great pitchers in baseball, who after Pearl Harbor was the first major league player to enlist 2 days after in the Navy. Middle of his career, similar to Pat Tillman some 50 years later, who saw something in 9/11 and said, there is a greater cause for me than playing in the NFL. And we all know how that turned out. But there is a long litany of professional athletes that have served our nation, and in many cases, in the middle of their career.
Yeah, the one that comes to mind, and mainly my dad always mentioned it, was Ted Williams. Because I think he missed not one, but I think he served twice during his career, if I'm not mistaken.
Yeah, he fought 39 combat missions while he was the best hitter in baseball in the Korean War. And then came back after 2 years and had eight more years. So many of the best records in baseball he would have shattered with a couple more years in baseball.
Yeah, I always think of, first of all, Chuck Bednarik, who was like a six-time first-team All-Pro and was, you know, a big part of the military. And then right now, Alejandro Villanueva, who's most recently been a left tackle for Pittsburgh. I mean, he went to Army and was a wide receiver. And now came back after his tour and started playing in the NFL.
David Robinson did
the Admiral
two full years. I mean, he was the best player in basketball. You know, Navy was on the map because of him.
Yeah.
And there's a lot of dispensations you can have, especially when you get to that level. He did two full years before. Imagine waiting for who are we talking about on San Antonio? I'm not an NBA season right now. Wembanyama. Imagine waiting 2 years for him because he's serving our country. Ted Williams, a great example. Yogi Berra stormed the beaches of Normandy. A lot of folks don't realize that.
Wow, I did not know that.
In World War II. Yeah. Jackie Robinson served. He was discharged because he refused to send the back of a bus back of a military vehicle that he was told to do, and they later, you know, went back on that. But folks forget that it was Admiral Jackie Robinson who served in the Army.
Wow.
Roberto Clemente served as well. Willie Mays, 2 years serving as well, in the middle of his career, in the Korean War. So
Chad Hennings, who played for the Cowboys defensive line on one of those Super Bowl teams, was another guy. I think he was in the Air Force for a few years.
I was going to say, I can't talk about David Robinson without thinking about Roger Staubach, right? I mean, that's another Academy guy that's definitely
and he was the biggest star in football and could have passed on military service, again, gotten dispensation.
Yeah.
He chose not to. So, listen, this is not a statement about current athletes. I think all of us are lucky enough that we're not in an era where we've been asked to go serve or really given the opportunity necessarily. But it is fascinating to think about major league players in the prime of their career choosing to step aside and go serve in the military, and in many cases affect their their career numbers and everything else. So there was a greater good. Pat Tillman, the most recent example, because there haven't been that many, really, that we've had to deal with.
Yeah, I've gotten to cover, I've got to go to the Navy up in Annapolis and then also get into cover Air Force game last year. Yeah. Just seeing the regimen that a lot of these
team
athletes
there.
Have.
Yeah. Oh, my God. It's so beyond when any other Division I athlete,
yes.
All due respect to Texas, Alabama, and Georgia, that they have to do the full job of the cadets or the midshipmen, yep. Whatever it is, and play football. One of the great sports books ever written, John Feinstein's The Army-Navy Game, follows Army and Navy for the entire year leading up to the game. You want to know what their lives are like? I think CBS Showtime did a year with both of them, or certainly.
Yeah.
So, anyways, we'll talk about that at 9/11. Chipper Jones will join us at 10 a.m. He was nice. In New York after 9/11. We'll have him. Sandy's in the house as well. So lots to get to coming up on the Steakhouse.
Awesome. Boom.
This hour has been brought to you by Mark Spain Real Estate. Go to markspain.com to get a guaranteed offer in your home today and start packing. That's going to do it for us here on The Morning Shift. Steakhouse is next on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.